You're listening to Siren Radio, and it's time for Royal Radio on Siren Radio, or to be precise...
It's Royal Radio. It's Siren Radio. I'm Chris Johnson, and you have ears. Enjoy.
And if you fancy getting on the groovy train to Lincoln and then getting out and stopping by the new Theatre Royal Lincoln, good on you, you made an excellent decision. Lots of things will be taking place over the next 50-odd minutes, as it is Royal Radio, with, of course, the fabulous Ollie with us as ever. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Alex. How are you?
Yeah, okay. Good. Okay, and delighted to be back. I can't believe we're talking about the autumn 2023 season.
I know, sorry about that, especially with Theatre Royal Lincoln.
It is very sunny outside, but you know, by the time people get around to listening to this on podcast or various other things,
changed.
It may well have changed.
And you want to be in a theatre when it's like that.
Of course.
With the roof over your head.
Yeah, precisely. But lots of exciting things going in this particular programme. Alone, we'll be speaking to director and writer and producer John Goodrum, who is actually responsible for part of the theme of the programme, which we will be echoing in all sorts of ways. I'll give you a little clue in terms of one of the things we'll be talking about in terms of that echo, etc. Think about Groovy Train and various other factors, and maybe a spooky dog, etc., coming through. You know, these things will be happening, or what through. But we'll hold back on that. Because we want to start with early September, and of course, great music as ever. Shawaddy Waddy are indeed Lincoln based. In fact, they'll pass through the whole sort of system on the 9th of September. On the 14th of September, David Bowie. No, he's not coming down to actually see us if he did that. Well, I suppose he could, the spirit of David Bowie would be actually echoed through the whole thing. But there will be the Bowie Experience.
Yeah, it's come to us a few times this one. It's a fan favourite, I think. All the hits from A to Ziggy. I can't take credit for that. They wrote that themselves. But yeah, all your favourite Bowie hits are there. But is it Bowie or Bowie? I don't actually know this.
I think technically, and I had a lot of discussion about this over the years, technically it's David Jones. That was his original name.
Okay, we'll take that.
Yeah. He moved on from being David Jones to David Bowie after Jim Bowie, the inventor of the Bowie knife. Who also apparently came to a sticky end at the Alamo. Hence the reason we remember the Alamo and David Bowie and Jimmy Bowie. Hence David Bowie as opposed to David Bowie.
That's fountain of knowledge, you are. That's brilliant.
Well, I think it's important that we have... I mean, somebody who's brought to the world young Americans, fame, golden years, sound and vision, personal favourite, Under Pressure with Queen, of course, Ziggy Stardust, John, I'm Only Dancing, Drive-In Saturday, The Gene Genie, Oh You Pretty Things, Blue Jean, Dancing in the Street, Suffering Jet City. I mean, there are so many things.
It's quite a catalogue, isn't it?
Honestly, and so many ways and voices. Fortunate enough and privileged to have a regular contributor to another show, admittedly. Maybe they should actually come on the Raw Radio.
Yeah,
it's Midweek Drive. And it's Pamela Sue Mann, who also runs New York Real Talk. And her husband, Jerry Leonard, actually worked with Bowie 5 years and was his lead guitarist for 5 years. Currently on tour with Suzanne Vega.
Nice.
But Jerry Leonard, big, big Bowie fan, as you'd expect. And he said he was a really, really nice bloke. Really fantastic. And that spirit of the Bowie Experience, doubtless, will transfer itself to the new theatre or Lincoln.
Looking forward to that one.
Feel the grace should fall.
direct from the West End, the Bowie Experience is a spectacular concert celebrating the sound and music of David Bowie, a must-see for all Bowie fans, the latest production featuring all the hits from A to Ziggy, quite rightly so. The New Theatre Royal is where it will be taking place, 14th of September 2023. Are there tickets still available, Ollie?
Yeah, we've still got a handful left for those, so yeah, head to the website, ring the box office, all the usual directions, really.
On to the next stages of September, the day after Bowie, you have the Illegal Eagles.
Yes.
Taking their Hotel California.
Yes, very nice.
On the Ventura Highway, where they'll probably actually take it easy.
Very nicely done. Yeah. I couldn't have done any better myself.
But again, one of the quality aspects of the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, and we've said this time and time again before, it brings you so much good quality music from that line as well.
Yeah, it is. And this, to be fair, these are one of the best tribute bands across the country. They almost sell out every time they come to us, to be fair. They've been touring for years, and they're a really tight band. Even got the whole double guitar action and everything. It's quite a spectacle, that one.
And Sam Bailey, That's What Friends Are For, yes, on the 17th. Share with us, Sam Bailey.
Sam Bailey, so.
What magical things can people expect from Sam Bailey, who became a household name after she was crowned the winner of the X Factor 10 years ago?
I know, but 2013. That's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. And to be fair to her, during that time, she's done quite a lot. So she, for people in Lincoln, they might have seen her in Vampires Rock at the theatre. But she's also done West End and touring shows. She did Fat Friends the musical. She was in Disney's Beauty and the Beast last year, actually. So she's gone on to get quite an accolade for herself. And during lockdown, she kind of created a group called... I forgot the name of it is, but it's basically a community on Facebook, and that she used to put out music videos, and everybody kind of got talking. Cuppa Crew, that's what it's called. And following that, she kind of like, I want to bring a show out to kind of get everybody together and sing songs for them. So this is kind of just a one-off day, really, two performances, and she's chosen Lincoln, which is lovely. And yeah, she's going to just perform for all the fans, really. So there's a few tickets left for that one. All the meet and greets have gone, but there's still a chance to see that.
And that's what friends are for. Quite literally. There's a matinee, of course, on Sunday, 17th of September. That's 2 p.m. Or indeed 6 p.m. Yep. So worth accessing from that. Skipping on, as you said, or dancing on, or doing plié, or pas de deux. Swan Lake, yes. The 19th of September. Always a favourite. And, you know, one of these days, I must avail myself of seeing some of the fabulous dance that you've actually got there. Those people who aren't familiar, Swan Lake, the tale of two young women, Odette and Odile, who resemble each other so strikingly that one could easily be mistaken from the other. There was a movie called Black Swan a few years ago.
There was, you know, I actually never got around to seeing that. It was a horror, wasn't it? I'm not a massive horror fan.
Horror suspense, okay. Tense aspect there, but it managed to work the Swan Lake mythology in very cool. And very neatly and nicely in that point of view. Again, the compelling legend of a tragic romance in which Princess Odette is turned into a swan. Always happens. Ask the education secretary. By an evil curse. Sorry, Keegan. Not in relation to Kevin.
I'd rather not talk about him, to be fair.
No. I mean, you'd think they'd actually give that some credit. Prince Siegfried, of course, chanced upon a flock of swans whilst out hunting, and when one of the swans turns into a beautiful young woman, he's instantly captivated. So it's a real-life story, obviously. But it is excellently put together, and of course it's classical ballet and opera house who are presenting Swan Lake.
Yeah, so they bring a couple of shows to us each year. So they normally bring kind of the Swan Lake or Nutcracker towards the end of the year. Then they often bring an opera to us. So they bring in Madama Butterfly to us next March, I believe. But they're a really strong team.
In a few moments, the aforementioned thrills of... What's that? Is it a train? Sound of a train there? What might you actually have with a train coming through? Might well be coming through. You're listening to Royal Radio on Siren Radio with Ollie, the marketeer extraordinaire.
Oh, bless you.
Well, exactly. It's very true. For New Theatre Royal Lincoln, time for Holly Johnson.
You're a golden heart, you're the highest mountain. You bring
riding the love train. So how could that possibly relate to... Sounds a bit of a rumpus to me, Ollie. Sounds a bit of a rumpus. Could be a rumpus theatre company production, a spine-chilling play by John Goodrum, based on Charles Dickens' classic ghost story, of course, The Signalman. And through the mists of time and the mists of mellow fruitfulness, we actually say, welcome back to Royal Radio, John Goodrum. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. Lovely to be here.
Well, likewise. I was just sharing with Ollie the last time we actually spoke. Oh, there's the train. Exactly. Exactly. The last time we spoke was indeed back on the 21st of June. The 16th of June in 2021. We were talking about The Murderer in the Mirror. Socially distanced murder mystery, which came to the New Theatre Royal back in, of course, 2021. Of course, Father Brown was to the fore there, and there's no sign of Father Brown in The Signalman, which is coming to the New Theatre Royal, assuming it gets through the joys of the trains and all the rest of the bits and pieces.
Yes, exactly. As long as nobody's on strike,
no promises there. Right?
Exactly. But, you know, we have, I mean, The Pit of the Pendulum, The Mask of the Red Death, The Telltale Heart, The Ghost Touch, The Signalman, The Black Veil, The Mystery of Edwin Drood. I mean, you are clearly, John, you have cornered the market when it comes to psychological and horror-packed, thrilling experiences.
It does seem so, doesn't it? Yes, my life seems to have bent its world itself that way a bit. Rumpus does do other light-hearted plays as well, but the people seem to really like the spooky, more autumnal, Halloween-y ones that we do.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking Sorry, I Love You, but even that has a kind of sense of an edge to it, really, which you suppose...
Yeah, that was a bit more Love Actually, we actually did bring The Signalman to the lovely New Theatre Royal Lincoln back in 2018, and people seem to like it so much that by public demand, here we are again. Yeah. So everybody's got a chance to come and see it.
Most folk are familiar with, obviously, the work of Charles Dickens, some of the work, some of the more popular than others, Oliver Twist, Charles Dickens, Great Expectations and so on, probably Christmas Carol. Signalman, is it fair to say, not necessarily one of his most generally well-known plays?
No, I suppose he's most... I mean, Dickens loved ghosts, but I think, obviously, his famous ghost stories is... A Christmas Carol, but this one it's well known amongst certain people. It was a wonderful way back in the 1970s, a BBC television film based on it. Sure, they were in a habit of doing sort of scary Christmas ones, weren't they? And this was a wonderful short film with Denham Elliott, I think, a wonderful old actor playing the Signalman. But yes, it's my opportunity was splendid to make it into a full-length stage play. And ghost plays go so well on stage because, you know, it's pretty. It's actually there. You've got the audience there in the darkened theatre with you, and you can really spook them and make them jump.
I mean, it's been compared, obviously, to a cross between an Inspector Calls and The Woman in Black, according to the Kentish Times. I mean, you've got two classics there that clearly channel the whole notion of J.B. Priestley and, of course, the notion of the Woman in Black as well. Is something about theatre that really lends itself to the spooky ghost story?
Oh, yes. Yes, well, I mean, the Lincoln is a perfect theatre for it because it's an old traditional theatre. I don't know, Ollie will be able to tell us. Does it have a ghost of its own, the New Theatre Royal? I'm not sure.
There's a few stories here. Actually, going slightly top, they've been going a few rounds. When I was younger at the theatre, I had a photo which had a bizarre... I'll show you, John, when you went. It's got a bizarre figure in the background. And it's been doing the rounds. I've been kind of sharing around everybody. So, there could be some ghost.
Well, maybe after we've been there with the Signalman, we'll leave one behind.
Yeah, if you could, that'd be great, yeah.
Yes, theatre and ghosts go very well together.
Well, as long as you actually turn around and break a leg and do all of those official lines that you... vitally important. Yeah. Who is the faceless figure by the tunnel warning the haunted signalman? An eerie version of Charles Dickens' classic Victorian ghost story, a terrified signalman unburdens himself to the young student who chances upon his railway cutting, telling a chilling tale of the spectre that haunts him and the terrible disasters that follow each appearance. But what horror is the ghost trying to warn of this time, and is the young man's visit quite so innocent as it at first appears? Ollie, have you seen this before?
You know what, I haven't. No, I wasn't actually around back in 2018, so this will be my first introduction to this film. I'm looking forward to it.
And it's ideally placed because it's as we head into clearly autumn classic time of the year. Yeah. We're not in Halloween quite as far as this is concerned, but is this something which, John, from your own perspective, you know, we're September sort of piece is there, people are obviously reflecting, it's that time where, you know, we begin to think about the life beyond the veil and so on, this really captures the moment.
Exactly, yes. Well, the autumn, yes, is September is ideal because we've all been used to the sort of summer, but the evenings really, you suddenly start noticing that the light is failing much earlier in the evening. And as we head towards October, yes, people really, their minds do turn to all these spooky stories, and we found it's the ideal time to tour all our spooky Halloweeny ghost stories. We brought some Telltale Heart. I don't know whether that, I don't think that did come to Lincoln last year, but we were touring that one, which was a wonderful Edgar Allan Poe story, which turned ghosts and vampires and goodness knows what on their heads. People love it. They love to be scared, but it's safe in the theatre because they can. They're there, and they're actually with it, but they're safe in their seats. It can't really hurt them, or can it?
Well, this is it. Now, I've got a quiz question, which I'm just going to beam towards Ollie at present. Although, John, feel free to actually help and assist. It's just one of those things which I think is quite quirky.
This is stressful.
What is the connection between the Signalman and Everton Football Club? The Signalman and Everton Football Club.
Is it a nickname of a famous player there?
I'm
just shooting a blank. I'm not going to
the
lie.
The Signalman and The Pit and the Pendulum, both produced by Bill Kenwright at the Theatre Royal Windsor.
Well, I should have known better, shouldn't I?
I would have thought. You know,
sorry about that, Bill.
I know a lot of Everton fans don't rate Mr. Kenwright, but, you know, as a theatre producer...
Oh, he's done a lot, yeah.
A lot of important stuff from that point of view. And how did you find working with him, John? Was it a case of, yes, this is what the Theatre Royal Windsor was made for, The Pit and the Pendulum, bit of Edgar Allan Poe, and then The Signalman?
Yes, he was great to produce both of those, and they've invited us back actually since to do other productions. But he's been he loves a sort of a spooky ghost story, and Windsor again a lovely perfect theatre for it. Yes, whether it would work on on a football ground or not, I'm not sure. But
I don't know. Sometimes there would
be better. What's going on that football ground at the moment? To be fair,
that's why I raised the issue. Basically, it could be just what the team actually needs. It could be what Sean Dyche should actually say, yeah, bring it on.
It's a bit bold coming from a Sunderland fan, isn't it? But
John, you're an actor, a writer, a producer. You are also a founder of Rumpus Theatre Company, which you mentioned. You've also directed for the company Night Must Fall, Duet for One, Quartet, Jumpers, Parlour Song and The Ghost Such. Is there something about the supernatural that appeals to your good self? Because looking at the whole range of things, I'm thinking supernatural and certainly crime. And I mean, obviously, you've also played Andrew Wyke in Sleuth, Bob Jackson, Pack of Lies and so on. And let's not forget your Sherlock Holmes incarnations, etc. Is there something which really has always appealed to your good self? Or is it a case of, no, secretly, I've always wanted to actually be Coriolanus.
maybe. Not Coriolanus. I didn't hear in Coriolanus years ago, my very first job, but I was a humble citizen or serf or whatever it was, a slave. But I love whodunits and murder mysteries, as you'll probably gather from having done all my Father Brown stories and what have you. And I've loved, as an actor, just appearing in Agatha Christie's Unexpected Guest and Spider's Web and all those. There's something really exciting about keeping an audience guessing right to the end, until the very end you suddenly uncover, and hopefully they, just before you reveal it, the audience go, oh, I know. I've worked it out. And you brought them all the way along with you. And there's a little bit of that, actually, in the Sickleman. There's sort of a mystery, as you said, from your kind description of it. What is the tragedy or the disaster that the ghost is heralding? And what is the young man's involvement in it, really? And a lot of that carries you right through to the end.
And you also mentioned something which has become a guilty pleasure. I think it emerged during lockdown, actually, where I suddenly started getting into G.K. Chesterton's work of Father Brown. I've got to ask the question, what are your thoughts on Mark Williams' incarnation of Father Brown? Or is that a case of no? Kenneth Moore was obviously number one in that particular role, or would you go for something completely different?
Well, I think they're all good. They're all completely different, of course, and they're their own individual interpretations. Mark Williams is lovely. I mean, he's brilliant, and that's proved so popular, hasn't it, in the afternoon. But, of course, my favourite has to be our lovely John Lyons, who was in A Touch of Frost with David Jason, who played Father Brown for us in three plays now. We've just done one more at Nottingham Theatre Royal as part of their classic thriller season. We've done a third one, Father Brown, A Crime of Christmas. So, yes, my association, I've had many happy collaborations with G.K. Chesterton. He's been, as I have with Dickens, they've been great co-writers through my career.
I was going to mention Dickens, of course. Your stage adaptations include Barnaby Rudge, Dombey and Son, Great Expectations, The Mystery of Edwin Drood, To the Old Curiosity Shop, Pickwick Papers. That must have been an interesting one to stage. I mean, for me, Pickwick Papers is an under-loved classic of the great Dickens, etc. Was that something which you kind of thought, yeah, actually, let's go with the Pickwick Papers. Let's put them all together. Let's get Mr. Pickwick bumbling along.
Yes. I've been lucky enough in the last 10 years or so to have an involvement with the Dickens Society down in Broadstairs, which is a very Dickensian place, because, of course, the house that Dickens placed Bleak House on is down there, and they have an annual Dickens Festival each year. So in recent years I've been adapting their Dickens production for them and directing it, and that's a wonderful opportunity to work with. That's more of an amateur company. I professionally direct it, but I don't have all the grumpus worries of, oh my goodness, how many actors am I going to pay? I can have as many as I like. And so we Pickwick Papers was a great fun one, because that's just so light and jolly and funny, and there's the lovely skating scene, and working out how to do the skating scene, and Mr. Pickwick falling through the ice was one of the great pleasures of my life.
In many ways, that's the equivalent to How Do They Make the Car Fly in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, really. It's one of those kind of, wow, it's the magic of theatre.
Exactly, just great fun.
We're talking about the Signalman, of course. We're talking about that event that we launched this particular programme with, that train crossing, the lines from there. I think it's all become quite clear. Ollie, any questions you'd like to put to the producer of the Signalman?
Well, I suppose it's kind of, you've led it from there. It's the whole, you're like the producer, the director, the performer. Do you find it difficult to juggle all those kind of things, or can you literally just switch between each seamlessly?
No, I don't find it difficult to juggle it, because each job kind of feeds the other, if you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, the producing, it sort of tends to happen nearer the beginning, and, you know, setting everything up and making sure that you've got all the marketing materials and everything that you want.
I am very needy.
And then we move into the actual rehearsals, which, as you can hear, I'm in a very echoey rehearsal room at the moment, because we're just building up with the Sickleman to open it in Nottingham on Monday next week, so we're in the last stages of rehearsals. And my mind slowly switches over to actually remembering all the lines and being in it and acting it. But yes, you have to flip a few switches to the right place at the right time.
Sure. The Signalman is in Lincoln. 2 days. You've got three performances.
Yes, yeah.
One matinee performance, which I might be able to hopefully attend, fingers crossed, and catch the whole thing, because I think it should be there. That's on the 20th of September and the 21st of September. Perfectly placed for the returning students at the University of Lincoln.
Because it's
first week, freshers week, and so on. What better way could they actually have to enjoy the cultural milieu of the city than to actually check out the new Theatre Royal Lincoln's production that they're hosting of the Rumpus Theatre Company's The Signalman. makes perfect sense. John, a few couple of final questions. Musically speaking, I mean, we've had a sort of train theme going through this. Do you think either Midnight Train to Georgia or Last Train to Clarksville would be a suitable thing to take us out of this particular segment and into another area for the New Theatre Royal Lincoln Royal Radio?
Oh, let's go Last Train to Clarksville.
That's a good choice. It's upbeat, really. You know, a few coffee-flavoured kisses. You know, take the last train to Clarksville, and I'll see you, and then there's be here by 10:30. It's all good. Midnight Train to Georgia, possibly a bit too spooky. And how can people actually follow your own work, John? Is it simply a case of, well, you quite simply go to johngoodrum.co.uk and it's all there, or is there another way in which people can actually access the awesome work of the Rumpus Theatre Company?
That one is indeed covers all my writing work, but if they go to rumpustheatrecompany.co.uk, then they'll find everything about Rumpus as well.
And will you be kind enough to return to the programme in the near future?
I would love to. Thank you very much.
John Goodrum, we salute you. Again, the signal man. Oh, you can actually see him just in the background there, that tension is coming through. It's amazing. To pack into Royal Radio, but we're going to try. 9th to 11th of October, we did a feature on this earlier in the year. You can still find it via the Theatre News section of the southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com site, and it's still available. That's the Buddy Holly story, of course, a classic. I'm amazed. Are there still tickets available for this?
Believe it or not, there are some tickets still available. I mean, it's selling fast, as you'd expect. I know we spoke about it back then, but it's such a big coup to get a show of this size into theatre. It's a West End Broadway production. It's toured the UK for years.
It's showing the way in which actually Natalie and the team and yourself, of course, have really raised the bar with the new Theatre Royal Lincoln. Because I think it's fair to say, a decade or so ago, people were actually thinking, are we still going to have a theatre?
Well, it's no secret, is it? It went through some really tough times, and that might have, like I've said many times before, they've done a brilliant job and managed to get it up and running again. But more importantly, getting the trust of people of Lincoln again and getting loyal patrons back through the doors. it's great. And touch wood, we're seeing some really good ticket sales across most shows nowadays. It's mainly done to their work, to be fair.
Well, still stacks and stacks and stacks of good productions that are coming through. I mean, that's just a random selection. I'm fascinated by the Solve Along a Murder She Wrote with Sing a Song of Murder. Cult hit for event Solve Along a Murder She Wrote comes to town with an interactive screening of the classic Murder She Wrote episode Sing a Song of Murder. Jessica Fletcher, of course, played by the late, great Angela Lansbury, heading to London, but soon getting caught up in a murder mystery that only she or you can solve.
Sounds like great fun.
I mean, it's almost so weird. You think we're going to have to go there?
Yeah.
To see what's there. And let's talk a little bit about the joys of music. Not so much music, because obviously there's so many musical things there. Burlesque. Let's talk burlesque.
Yes, even with burlesque.
Yes, yeah, an evening of burlesque.
Friday the 22nd of September, that one. This is another one that's been coming to us for the last few years. It's actually the UK's longest running burlesque show. It's got cabaret, music, comedy, circus, and obviously burlesque. This one as well, tickets, literally getting there quick because tickets are almost sold out for this one. Really popular production. It's nice to see a production like this, because I've been coming through a few years to kind of see it getting larger and larger scale every time it comes as well.
I put a choice to, obviously, John a few moments ago. We'll go back to Buddy Holly for your choice. Ollie, That'll Be the Day or It Doesn't Matter Anymore?
Oh, let's go, That'll Be the Day. Go on.
Well, it will be.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie. Cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, you give me all your loving and your dirt of loving, all your hugs and kisses and your money too. Well, you know you love me, baby. Tell me maybe that someday will be you. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie. Cause that'll be the day when I die. Your heart, so if we ever part, then I'll leave you. You sit and hold me, and you tell me boldly that someday, well, I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie. Cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, that'll be the day. That'll be the day. Ooh, ooh, that'll be the day. Ooh, ooh, that'll be the day.
Oh, yes, it will. Oh, no, it won't. Yeah, we're pantomime time. It's Aladdin, not Aladdin Sane, which would have been David Bowie, of course, but that's another line which brings us in where we came out to. 5th of December to the 7th of January 2024, we have West End leading man Roger Wright as the Genie of the Lamp. We have Olympic gymnast Louis Smith MBE as Ebenezer. And, of course, we have Strictly legend Ian Waite as Sultan Cha-Cha-Cha.
Aptly named, I think. Yeah, and then this, I mean, it's a genie-tastic adventure is what we're going for here. It's, I mean, obviously, as we always discuss, Panto is the biggest show for us of the year, and people love our Pantos, which is great. It's a proper traditional Panto. A bit like John, where we spoke to earlier, Natalie writes it, produces it, she's starring in it again.
I felt it wasn't fair, given that John also does a range of things with his pantomimes. I thought we needed to steer away from John's. But I mean, yeah. John, if you're still listening, we appreciate the excellent work you do here, but frankly, in Lincoln, there's really going to be one player in the town when it comes to pantomime, and that will be the Natalie Hayes Cowley pantomime, which, as I say, this year is Aladdin. Again, some great Natalie herself.
Yeah, she's back in it this year again. So obviously did it last year and obviously caught that bug and can't keep herself off stage, which is great for her. So.
And as you said, a genie-tastic adventure, which looks as though it's going to be awesome, running from the 5th of December through to the 7th of January.
Yeah, and like you've obviously listed off the cast there, Lewis Smith, ex gymnast Olympic medalist, it's quite a coup. And Roger Wright, which I always struggle to say, Roger Wright, he was actually the original adult Simba in the original West End Lion King. So he's got some serious acting pedigree there. So I'm looking forward to seeing him on stage.
Absolutely. It looks as though it's going to be another winner. Now, I would imagine most of these tickets will have already gone rapidly. But
So especially around Christmas and the Christmas Eve ones, if you haven't got your tickets yet, then you're going to struggle. But obviously, we're performing 63 odd performances, so the raw tickets still available, but they're selling super quick this year.
Always have sympathy for the cast, certainly on the 9th of December, the 16th of December, and the 17th of December, and the 23rd of December, and the 30th of December.
We were them hard.
Not one, not two, three shows. Morning show, matinee show, afternoon show, and an evening show as well.
No rest for the wicked, eh?
That's pretty difficult. Yeah. I mean, two shows, I think we can probably just work through that, but and that's consistent for most of the days, but those 10:30 shows must be pretty challenging. But obviously it's a two-way process. Good audience builds, feeds in.
It's all the adrenaline, isn't it? I think, and that's really where I suppose performers earn their book. It's being able to consistently perform across a three-show day, really. It's quite a challenge there.
You've been listening to Royal Radio with just some of the upcoming highlights of the autumn winter season. We'll be providing a few little insights afterwards about how you can support the theatre, how you can become a friend of the theatre, how you can find out other bits and bobs as well, and more after this by train.
On the other side of the street, I knew stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West LA or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me. Oh, but that one night was more than just right. I didn't leave you, cause I was all through. Oh, I was overwhelmed and frankly scared as hell, because I really fell for you. Skip to how you've been and get down to the more than friends at last. Oh, but that one night is still the highlight. I didn't need you until I came to, and I was overwhelmed and frankly scared as hell, because I really fell for you. Street I knew, stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause oh, I swear to you, I'll be there.
can get an entire history of the New Theatre Royal Lincoln written by Neil R. Wright at the theatre. It's a mere £10. What a treat. I mean, the history of the New Theatre Royal, there's a lot of history there, over a century.
So we're actually turning 130 years old this end of this year. So
you started 20 years after the first ever international between England and Scotland.
Oh, there you go.
150 years ago, apparently, first international between England and Scotland, which is why they're having a memorial. Is it a memorial? No, I don't think anybody's died. A commemorative match. Yeah. Although my calculations were, surely if the first match was 150 years ago, then the 150th should have been last year, 2022. 1872, 2022, not 2023. I haven't quite worked that one out. But nevertheless, enough of such stuff. The dates for Neil R. Wright and History of the New Theatre Royal are for £10. That is available. And again, that's another treat. And that shows, again, part of the community aspect of how the New Theatre Royal Lincoln really embeds itself within the culture of Lincoln.
I think so, yeah. I mean, we've been here 130 years. It's a part of Lincoln life, isn't it? Yeah. I think we all, as kids, we went there to see our first show and our first panto and all that, so it's ingrained in our...
It's what Hermione said. She was taken by the pantomime, even Kathy Mansour. Yeah. She's now in other parts of Europe still very taken with the... Yeah. Finally managed to get her to see a pantomime as well, which was great.
An eye-opener.
How can people continue to support the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, apart from simply going along to the box office, buying their tickets for the events, especially the pantomime, etc.? Are there other ways in which people can actually get actively involved with the Theatre Royal as a friend of the Theatre Royal?
Yeah, so you can join our Royal membership, so that has a number of benefits. We can even get you cheaper parking on evenings, which is quite an achievement. Discounted in our drinks and stuff. We've actually just started a new initiative in our bistro. We've kind of done a bit of more of a revamp again. It's a golden ticket experience. So for £25, you can come along. You have a seat all night, so pre-show and in interval. You can have a platter of soup before, a welcome drink, and then an ice cream and another drink in the interval. Which is a great saving.
It just gets better and better, as we said. I'm certainly looking forward to The Signalman. Swan Lake, likewise, is going to be absolutely awesome. Everyone's going to be awesome. Buddy Holly story, equally good from that perspective. And, of course, the pantomime. Do you have any highlights, or is that a case of don't ask me to choose between
I think
shows?
It is, but I think, actually, one thing we've got towards the end of this year is there's a lot of comedians. So we've got, obviously, our staple comedy night at the Royal, which is always a favourite amongst the people who come to that. But we've also got a fascinating... Is it Ada or Aida?
Fascinating Ada. I think.
Yeah.
Aida was obviously the opera about Egypt, which has a definite A-I-D-A in there. But I think it's definitely
fascinating Ada. Cool. We'll go with that. Jenny Clare, Alfie Moore, Gary Delaney, Phil Wang, Pete Furman. We've got some real strong names there. Yeah. So if you fancy a laugh, just bring your sleeping bag, really.
And let's face it, we need to have a bit of amusement. It's the 40th anniversary of Fascinating Ida, and it's Thursday the 12th of October. Well worth accessing.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's a key thing. Okay, you can also go on Rottle Online, of course. You can go to the New Theatre Royal Lincoln on Facebook, of course, the NTR Lincoln on Instagram, X.
You even have an Twitter X,
they say. Exactly, X, formerly known as NTR Lincoln. And, of course, using the traditional website, going to newtheatreroyallincoln.co.uk will still work as well.
Yeah, we're even on TikTok as well now, Alex.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
But, you know, have you been doing the TikTok moves?
I try and stay out of it as much as possible, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, Natalie, I would have thought, surely she would.
Oh, she's in all of them,
I figured that would be the case. Okay, that wraps up another Royal Radio, the first one of the autumn and winter 2023, January 2024 season. Back again, presumably, sometime towards the end of October.
Sounds good to me. Cheers, Alex.
Talking of pantomime, though, Aladdin, track by Robin Williams, Friend Like Me. Shall we go with that?
Why not?
Happy theatre going.
Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherazade had 1,000 tales. Master, you in luck, cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now. It's heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch, pizzazz. Yahoo and how, say all you gotta do is rub that lamp. And I'll say, Mr. Lancer, what will your pleasure be? Let me take your order, jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me. Life is your restaurant, and I'm your melody.
Come on, Will. whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Yes, sir, we pride ourselves on service.
You're the boss, the king, the shine.
Say what you wish, it's yours, true dish. About a little more baklava. As I'm a column A, try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me. Mama. Their little hat. Can your friends go poo? Hey, look at here. Can your friends go abracadabra? Let it rip! And then make the sucker disappear. So don't you sit there, smack your buggy hide. I'm here to answer all your business prayers. You got me bona fide, certified. You got a genie for a child to pay. I got a power of urge to help you out. So what you wish, I really want to know. You got a list that's 3 miles long, no doubt. Well, all you gotta do is rub like so. Hey ho, Mr. Aladdin, sir, have a wish or two or three. I'm on the job.
You beg, nay, Bob.
You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend like me.
You ain't never had a friend like me. Ha!